Hello?
Yes, ma'am. What is your name, please, ma'am?
Shana Rudy.
Ms. Rudy, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemens C. We're calling regarding the hearing, the revocation hearing, regarding a wrong allegation on your void. And based upon information that we have, you were notified of this hearing back on August the 20th of this year. Do you remember that notification, ma'am?
I do.
And on that stated, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one today. Therefore, may I assume that you're going to represent yourself this afternoon?
Yes.
You cannot see us because we're doing this by telephone, but there are three board members participating in the hearing today, and they are the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your lead this afternoon. We also have in the room with us this afternoon the Honorable Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby represents the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Ms. Rudy and Mr. Westby, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, to help you guard or do you so affirm?
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Rudy, you have one allegation, only one. I'm going to read it. Once I read it, would you tell me whether it's true or false? And it reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 120 North Beverly Street, Number K in Mesa, Arizona, on or about June 25, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts was unknown, that she was in restraint from supervision. Ma'am, is that true or false?
True.
Thank you, ma'am. Based upon the admission, Ms. Rudy, I'm going to find that she violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that she was delinquent, that she had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal. Now, ma'am, we're going into phase two of your hearing. And phase two, after phase two, you complete phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue your supervision. We begin phase two by receiving some background information on you from the Department of Corrections. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while we get that information. Then we're just going to come back and the board will talk to you, and you can tell the board anything that you need to tell the board at that time. So at this time, Mr. Westby, sir, would you give us some background information?
On June 4th, 2018, Ms. Rowe was released from Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested August 6, 2018 by EYPD on bold warrants. She was back in DOC custody on August 13, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision end date of April 14, 2019, which reflects 42 abscond days. Current conviction, 2016, marijuana violation, 3.5 years. 2016, drug paraphernalia, 2 counts, each for 1 year. She was a prior conviction in 2007 for theft, 1 year. 2008, theft, 1 year. 2009, drug paraphernalia, 1 year. 2010, escape second degree, 2 years, 3 months. 2013, smuggling, 3 years. This is her sixth term at DOC. CUIR score 4-3, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 3. STG gang information notes, she is a white supremacist. Her terms of supervision, 2008, TIS release completion, 4 months. 2008, TIS release, arrested on DV assault charge, released from jail, absconded 65 days, revoked by the BOEC. 2010, TIS release, absconded 5 days, reached CCD, practicing the BOEC. 2012, TIS release of standard 70 days, revoked by the BOEC. For disciplinary violations are moderate. Other arrest, 2004, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2005, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. There were 2 counts on that. 2006, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2007, theft, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2007, aggravated robbery, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2007, armed robbery, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2009, blood paraphernalia, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2010, aggravated assault, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2013, drug paraphernalia, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2016, dangerous drug violation, Arizona, disposition unknown. Recommended risk score is a G5B5. I have stats and charges from Senior Officer Bullock, dated August 21st, 2018, that just states here that the offender was arrested on old warrants, nothing current in system.
Okay, and that was the end of the letter, right?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. Okay, we have appeals, Rose, and based on information that we see, that when you were released, you were to reside with your sponsor, who was your mother, Ms. Wendy Studebaker, and then Ian Mesa. How long did you reside with your mother at your mother's residence, ma'am?
I resided there for about a month, but see, the thing is, I thought I had permission, because when I went to speak with Ms. with my parole officer, she said she was going to put in the request to Pinal County for me to be transferred to Pinal County. The parole officer came and saw me in Pinal County. He came to the address that I was supposed to be paroled to. He came there. Like, I thought everything was legit. I didn't know that I had moved without permission, really.
Okay, so you didn't know that you had moved without permission. Did your parole officer in Mesa, that parole officer, did she actually give you something in writing, said that you were approved to relocate, ma'am, or what happened there? I'm just trying to figure out what really happened.
She never called me and told me I couldn't move, and she never called me and told me that I could. Therefore, when I was in Pinal County and the parole officer showed up there, and we had the meeting. It was me, Sonia Mendez, and the parole officer. We all had a meeting there at the house. I thought it was legit. She never called and said no. So I thought, well, if it's a no, she's obviously going to call me and tell me that. And she never called me and told me anything. And it wasn't until I reached out for help to her for rehab, because I found out I had cancer while I was here in the Department of Corrections. I found out I had cancer. I'm catheter dependent. I'm doing chemotherapy now. But when I went to go see the doctors on the street, the doctor was like, ma'am, I've never seen anybody with a bladder in your condition live anything more than 3 months. And I'm not going to lie, I gave up hope. I gave up hope. 3 months is a little bit of time to live, and I'm only 33. So it freaked me out. So I went home, and I relapsed. As soon as I relapsed, I realized what I did. I pulled myself back in. I asked for help. After I asked for help, I really didn't need the help, because I had already pulled myself back together.
Okay,
you know?
Let me get some information from Mr. Westby, and then I'll come back and you and I will continue to talk. Mr. Westby, sir.
Yes, I'm reviewing the case notes here, and CMG 19, 2018 states the defendant requested a case transfer to the Pinal Regional Parole Office, proposed sponsor, girlfriend, Sonia Veronica, in Eloy, Arizona, and a submitted transfer June 19th. June 28th, 2018, this is from Parole Officer Wood from the Pinal Parole Office, stating conduct a pre-home investigation for the case transfer of the above-mentioned offender. During the interview, it was asked if the sponsor was a victim co-defendant of any of the offender's offenses. The sponsor replied that the offender had stolen the credit card 3 or 4 years ago and asked if there had been any domestic violence between the sponsor. The sponsor stated no. They explained to the sponsor that to be notified if it was approved. They reviewed the NCIC nonetheless, which time was observed within the PSI that the offender had multiple arrests for domestic violence against her girlfriend. In one incident, the offender had threatened to shank her girlfriend with a box cutter. They contacted Eloy Police Department records and advised that the victim of the offense is dated 12/30/15 to January 6, 2016, where her girlfriend and proposed sponsor. For the above reasons, the case transfer request was recommended as denied. On June 30th, 2018, P.O. Avery attempted to contact the offender regarding her missed UA on June 29th and also to advise her that the transfer was denied. She didn't answer the phone, so it was voicemail message that was left. On July 3rd, she did have success. The offender returned P.O. Avery's phone call. P.O. Avery advised her that the transfer was denied due to her proposed sponsor being a past victim of domestic violence, and the offender was reminded she had a scheduled office visit with PO Avery on July 10th, 2018, and that was it after that point.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir, for sharing that information with the board. So I'm assuming that you did hear that.
But in regards to the voicemail, my phone was so messed up. Like, so I downloaded an app onto my phone. Like, this is irrelevant, but I downloaded an app onto my phone, and it gave my phone a virus. I couldn't, until I could get to Metro PCS and have them factory reset my phone themselves, I couldn't get to my voicemail. I couldn't get to my text messages. Therefore, I never got the message saying that it was denied or whatever the case may be. In regards to the Miss UA, she had told me that Friday, she called me and I got a hold of her. She told me, I think it was a Friday, it was either a Thursday or a Friday, that my color had come up. I knew that my color had come up. Fact of the matter is, I'm catheter dependent and I couldn't afford a catheter. So I couldn't go drop a UA without a catheter. I couldn't afford the catheter for the UA, and I explained that to her. So then she tells me, I tell her, just give me the weekend. Let me see what I can come up with. Those catheters are $2.50, and to the average person that doesn't seem like anything, but to somebody that doesn't have a job, that's fresh out of the penitentiary, it was a lot. It was a lot. Just $2.50 had me stressed out that whole weekend. So I finally ended up getting the $2.50. I go to the, and then not to mention that I have to pay somebody to take me to the store to get the catheter. Now I've got to pay that person to take me to Phoenix, you know? So I finally got my sister on board. Her car was messed up. The front wheel was trying to fall off. But my sister was willing to take me. Like, we were going to literally ride till the wheel fell off. We were going to go as far as we could until that wheel fell off, and then we were going to hitchhike the rest of the way if we had to.
I think I understand what your situation was. But let me just ask one other question. I believe you said, and if I misheard you, so please correct me, that after so many challenges that were going on, that you relapsed. What did you relapse? Did you use drugs or alcohol? What did you do when you relapsed, ma'am?
Yeah, I relapsed on drugs.
What kind of drugs, may I ask, ma'am?
On what drugs?
Uh-huh.
On meth, crystal meth.
Is that your drug of choice, or you just used it that one time?
I just used it that one time. Heroin is my drug of choice when I was using.
Okay. Have you done anything over the years to help you cope with that, with the drug?
I've never been offered rehab. I've never been offered any of that. And my family, I just talked to my family yesterday, and they said they got me a bed at Crossroads. Like, that's what I want. That's what I need is rehab. And that's why I reached out to, Avery, my parole officer, and I told her, look, I did this. And I'm sorry that I did this, but look, I'm going to get myself into rehab. I'm going to get this right. And from that moment on, I didn't use again. But the fact of the matter is, every rehab that I had contacted, either in Pinal County or Maricopa County, I had to be high in order to bring myself to your facility. So how am I supposed? So I have to go use drugs in order to get into rehab.
Okay, ma'am. Okay, I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you at this time. I don't hear any questions coming from other board members at this time. Ma'am, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, but this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. So anything else you want to tell the board about repeating yourself?
Okay, my final statement would just be, I have cancer, and the doctors that I've been trying to go see, the specialists that I need to see, are making special arrangements for me to get in because my situation is that serious. So these doctors are making special arrangements for me to get in. And I've missed all of the appointments thus far because I've been in the Department of Corrections over a mistake that I didn't realize I made. And now, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't do it by any means. I'm taking full responsibility for my actions. But the fact of the matter is, I can still get to those doctors, and I have rehab waiting for me. That's what I really need. The Department of Corrections has no training or help in regards to relapsing and drug use and stuff like that. They allege that they do, but I've been here. I know this is not where I need to be. I need to be in a rehab facility, and I'm not even trying to do an outpatient. I'm trying to do an inpatient, and I'm not doing 30 days. I want to do 60 days. I want to do 90 days. I want to do 120 days. It doesn't matter to me. As long as I can get the tools that I need to stay clean out there, that's what I want to do. And when the doctor told me 3 months, yeah, I lost it. I gave up hope. But now that I realize, hey, that 3 months is gone already, and I'm still alive. Now I have reason to fight, and I want to fight, and I need to stay alive. But being here in the Department of Corrections is not going to do it.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you so very much. The board has heard your testimony, but now the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. While this discussion, the board will make its decision. It may sound as if we're talking to you, but we're not. We're just talking among us, the three of us. We would just be talking to each other, and this would be the first time that we would have had an opportunity based upon the open meeting laws of Arizona to have discussed your situation. The board is now in discussion. Board members, this is a very unfortunate situation. I think that Ms. Rose has, she thought for whatever reason that she had been approved to relocate with a new sponsor down in, this was Pinal County somewhere, and that just had not been approved, and that was based on some previous criminal activities that had taken place that she was not approved. And of course, there might have been some miscommunication. Yes, all our phones go out, and I know that from time to time my phone go out, we can't get our messages, but we do have a responsibility of finding our way to, especially something as important as making sure that she could get her messages in as much as she had an illness, in as much as she was on community supervision, in as much as she had to keep up with her, whether she was to do a UA and all those things, and somehow it just did not work. As one board member, I'm not in favor, but I am prepared to listen to other board members at this time. Board members.
I agree.
I'm going to just offer a motion at this time based upon information contained in warrant number 2018-W2012, as well as information and testimony provided by Ms. Rose, as well as testimony provided by Mr. Westby, and my motion is going to be to revoke community supervision.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal. Ma'am, your community supervision has been revoked. However, you will be out on April 18, 2019. At that time, you won't have to report to a parole officer. You will be on unless there is some other criminal activity that we're not aware of. So we wish you the best. We're sorry, but we hope that we will never have an opportunity to see you in Orange again. If hearing is over, if you will be kind enough to put the CO3 back on the phone, we would certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
Kelly Martinez.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much for having her ready, and you was going to assist me in trying to get me with technology that I don't understand, sir.
Okay, let me do me a favor. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Give me about 2 minutes.
Okay, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. I don't know if you're able to hear. We'll be back in about 2 minutes to connect us with the...
Makes it an elevator feeling though, doesn't it?
me some kind of feeling. After 7 years, you just... Okay, we're going to see if we can. If you can just stay on, I want to make sure that she's there, so just a bit, you know, so we can make sure that we're doing the right thing, because sometimes, you know, I'm not technical, I am technology challenged. I'm not like my distinguished friends here in this room. Everybody else is an expert except for myself. See, she's not coming on. That's part of my problem today.
She may have to see if that device has power on their end.
Say that to him.
Sir, the person on the other end will make sure, need to make sure that her video conference unit is turned on.
I transferred you to, that's to the her extension right now, so that you guys can go over what you guys need her to do.
Oh, so I just need to call her first, and
yeah,
and then she'll go in the room.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And the extension again was what again, sir?
24617.
Okay, thank you so very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You have reached the Arizona State Prison Complex in Perryville. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it now.
Wait while I transfer your call.
Miss Carter.
Yes, this is situated at the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we're trying to touch bases with you to see if you can. We're trying to test some of our technology. We have a technician in the room today, so that we won't have to worry every time that we have a problem. So I'm going to let him tell you what we need to get done here, one of my colleagues, because I am illiterate when it comes to technology. So I'm going to let someone else tell you what I need, what we are requesting of you at this time.
Okay,
we're trying to make a phone, we've got to make a video conference call to your end, and we are able to connect to other sites. All we get on your end is dial tone. Are all the devices that you work with, I'm not sure what you have at your system for video conference, but does everything looks like it's turned on?
Yeah, everything looks like it's ready.
Do you have a remote control that maybe has a power button on it? I know the one on this side that is sometimes you have to wake up those video conference units.
Let me go check it real quick.